Let us all say amen again. And now I think the song is appropriate. He is our God, who is alive. And that's why we find in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, God has commanded how we are to worship him. Amen? And we worship him according to the scriptures. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, we find, as we have done thus far, four of those acts. He said, and they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, that's teaching from the word of God. We'll hear from God's word on this morning. Also in fellowship, it allows us to give back or to share with God what God has blessed us with. And the desire is that we do that faithfully in our giving to God. And in breaking the bread, which is our communing with the Lord, our minds should go back on to the suffering that Christ exhibited for all the world and for us when he died on the cross and shed his blood and died again for our sins. And in prayer, we pray to God, thanking God and asking requests that we make to God for our God to intervene in our lives. And then Luke also wrote in verse number 47, that we praise in God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So we're here, our God is alive, and we're here to worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen? Amen. And if you are like me, when I come to worship service, there is a finish line and a starting point when I come to worship. And I want to know those that may be here, and if you're not a Christian, according to the Bible says, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So our hope and desire, as was shared in the prayer this morning, is that you obey the Lord and come forth and give your heart to the Lord and become a Christian through obedience and being water baptized. And I'll talk about that in my message on this morning. No one is saved from their sins until they've obeyed the Lord. We'll find that in the text on this morning. But I was about to say that when I come to worship service, I look at it as a finish line and a starting point, in the sense that I've gone through all what I've gone through this week, if you're like me, and all I want to do is get to the finish line. Yeah, I want to come here and I can, as Paul said, Peter said, I can cast all my cares, 1 Peter 5, upon the Lord. Why? For he careth for me. So all that I've gone through this week, yeah, I can give it to the Lord. And then, as it is when we go to the gas station to fill up our cars, and now you can electronically plug up your car. Yeah, you can recharge them. And so when I come on Sunday morning after crossing the finish line, I understand now that I need a word from the Lord that can encourage me and strengthen me to go another week. Amen? Amen. And then part of that week is also has a midweek devotional where we have Bible class on Wednesday, for we can study again God's word and just get, sometimes your tank at that point may be half full, and you come on Wednesday night, you listen on Wednesday night, and you get recharged, you get the gas tank filled up again. And that takes us to the Lord's Day on Sunday. Amen? Amen. And so I'm excited again just to be before you to preach the eternal word of God. That we are now sharing my message, how the gospel is designed. There are facts of the gospel. There's also a part of the gospel that Paul in his letter to Philippians talk about. But this morning, from the Philippian letter, the theme, and we talked about the themes for each chapter, and the theme for chapter 2 of this letter to the Philippian Christian is found in Philippians 2 and 5, where Paul said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Yeah, Christ is our example. This morning, let us study how Christ's example looks in a Christian. That is, we talked about on last week, working out their own salvation with fear and trembling. So we'll see from the Word of God, again, a continual letter looking at how do we work out our soul salvation. We'll look at on this morning where Paul said, my title is, I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy. All of us ought to be a Timothy, each and every one of us. And Paul said while he was in the prison cells that I trust in the Lord Jesus that I'm going to send Timothy. Yeah. All of us ought to be Timothy. And we'll see what the makeup that Paul talks about in that letter. And the word Timothy, for those who study, that word Timothy, by definition, means honoring God. Yeah. So Timothy was honoring God through his life. All of us should be honoring God. We talked about on last week what the word fear means. The word fear means, and I thought about it, the message myself as I was going through the week, the word fear means a dread of displeasing God. So I want to live my life as Timothy did in honoring God through the life I live. Through the life I live. So we pick up at verse number 19 where Paul in this continuous letter to the Philippian church, Paul said, but I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. That's my title. Paul said that the word trust here means, Paul said, I hope in the Lord that I'm going to send Timothy unto you shortly. He's going to leave for me, and he's coming to you. And Paul said that when he gives me back the word state here means your condition. Paul said that I might be comforted. I want to let this church know here that Highland Heights is my spiritual family. When I think about family, family shows concern for one another. Family pray for one another. Family also support and help one another. We need to be concerned about our other brothers and sisters in this congregation. We need to be concerned to the point that we pray for one another. When people ask for prayer, when we get together at night, hopefully at night, we're praying. And I want to encourage the church to pray more often. Yeah, sometimes you can pray for things being just as good as they, as well as they are, because they can be worse. Yeah, so we have to pray for one another. And then there are times when we support one another. Funerals allow us to support one another. We pray for one another. We support. We show concern for one another. That's what we are, Holland Heights. So when I think about that, Paul wanted to know, he said, when I know your condition, I want to know how you're doing. We ought to want to know how each of us are doing. And then when we see things presented in GroupMe and other things that we hear about it, that ought to touch us where we are concerned about the condition of other people. Yeah. Paul said, I'm concerned about you. I'm concerned about your welfare. For that reason, I'm going to send Timothy unto you. And that Paul said that he may give me some comfort when I know how you all are doing. And I think sometimes the Bible, Paul said in the Roman letter, we ought to learn to weep when those that are weak and rejoice when those that, yeah. What does that mean, Brother Scott? That means funerals are designed for us to weep with those that are weeping. Yeah, we're sorrowful also by their sorrow. But then also when we have a little one born in the family and someone comes up and say, God has blessed me with a new job. God has blessed me with a possessing thing. Then we rejoice with them that rejoice. We're happy for them that God has blessed you. Yeah, our young people, when they graduate from high school, from college, we rejoice with them. Yeah, because they've gone through the toil and the challenges of trying to accomplish things. And so we rejoice with them. Paul wanted to know how they were. And know what he says. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. Paul said, I don't have nobody that's like-minded. And he's talking about Timothy now, that has a mind like Timothy. Why? Because he said Timothy here will, the word naturally here means sincerely can care for your condition. Yeah, we need people in our lives that Paul said, I have found no man like Timothy. We need some Timothys at Highland Heights. Yeah, we need some that care sincerely for the church. We got some, but we don't have enough. We don't have enough. So this message also allows me to look at myself and for us to examine ourselves. Paul said, I don't have no man like Timothy. Because Timothy, he naturally cares for your state. What do you mean by that, Patrick? I mean, you know, when you're a parent and you have a child, you are concerned for that child. That never leaves. That never stops. Why? Because that's your child. As a parent, you're concerned about the welfare of that child. And if you are, as Timothy, you have an affection, you are concerned for Highland Heights Church of Christ. Amen. That never leaves. Amen. That never leaves. Yeah. I'm concerned. And Paul told you how much Timothy was concerned. Note what he says here, next verse, 21. He says, for all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. What Paul was saying about Timothy, in Timothy's life, Paul understood that Jesus was first in Timothy's life. Paul understood that the brethren were second in Timothy's life, and that Timothy was last in his own life. Christ and the church ought to be first in our lives. Yeah. If we get this congregation on real fire for the Lord, there's nothing we can't do here. Yeah. But when you have a few doing the work of many, it can wear out those that are few. Paul said about Timothy here. He said here that for all, now he's talking about the congregation, they seek their own. What does that mean? When I put myself before the church, when I put myself before, you know, things that I know that the church needs, when I know that there's others that that could need me and I could show them some love or do some things for them, when I don't put them first, and that's why Paul said the mind that he was talking about, the mind that he was talking about, that example that Jesus said, he said here that, but in lowliness of mind, verse number 3 of Philippians 2, let each esteem other better than themselves. Put other people before yourself. That's what he's saying.
He said, but you know, the proof of him, talking about Timothy, that as a son with the Father, he has served me in the gospel. Well, Paul said about Timothy, he has proof. You've seen it. He's done it. There are members here at Highland Heights. You've seen their sacrifice. You've seen their work. And what I'm saying to all of us, whatever I can do for the Lord, whatever I can do here at Highland Heights, I ought to be doing. Yeah. And again, as I said on last Sunday, God knows all of our conditions, our physical conditions. Yeah. But whatever I can do for the Lord, Paul said here, Timothy has proof. He said he was like a son to me. And he served me in the gospel. And so when I talk about, I said about the gospel, we know that there are three facts of the gospel. The fact that the gospel consists of 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Yeah, but there's also a part of the gospel that has to do with saving your soul. Turn your Bibles, open your Bibles. Look at Philippians a little bit. I want you to see where the gospel is also. Every Sunday I preach, I'm doing it this morning, I'm preaching the gospel in that I'm trying to save your soul that you live right. Notice in Philippians 1:27, Paul shared this here. He said, only let your conversation, your behavior, be as becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affair, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. So the gospel also is a living a certain way. We got to live a certain way. Yeah. So I'm up this morning. I'm trying to share with us how we live as a Christian that's living the gospel. Paul said it's about your behavior in the gospel. Then he says, him therefore, I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. Paul didn't understand. He was saying that in the life of Timothy, he found Timothy had three things. He had preparation of service, he had an attitude, and a faithfulness to serve. Those that know about Timothy's letter, Timothy had a mother and a grandmother who was faithful to the Lord. They were Christians, and they taught Timothy. Yeah, so we need to have, and I'm saying this to parents, turn your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter number 1. Let you read that for yourselves in the Bible. 2 Timothy chapter number 1. We talk about Timothy living as a Christian. And I'm talking not only to parents, I'm talking also to grandparents, because sometimes grandparents can have more influence on their child than the parents have. Sometimes parents are not as faithful as they ought to be. Sometimes it takes the grandparent. Notice what the Bible says in 2 Timothy 1 and 5. Paul said, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that it is in thee also. So what you have, and I'm talking to grandparents, if you are one that was the first one to obey Christ and become a Christian, you need to hand down your faith to your child. Yeah, hand your faith down to them. Let them see how faithful you are to God. And what we find from the grandmother, she handed it down to her mother, and the mother handed it down to her son. And Timothy became a Church of Christ preacher for the Lord. Amen? And so we see here that when we talk about the church again, the church is in need of servants who are willing to give of themselves to move this congregation. Yeah. What are you saying, Brother Stroud? I'm saying, how do I show brothers? I'm saying to our brothers, when we have our brothers meeting, when we have our sister meeting, if I am able and available, I need to be intentional. Why? Because I'm putting the church first. I'm putting the Lord first. I want to be at the brother's meeting. I want to know what's going on so I can get involved.
It also has to do with the ministries that I'm serving in. I want to serve in the ministry. I don't want to simply be put my name in there, brothers, as a co-lead, but I'm not co-leading anything.
Yeah. Because remember, when I sign up for something, the Lord sees me signing up. When I'm a co-servant, sister, the Lord see, I said I want to co-serve in this ministry. Well, we ought to be serving. We ought to be serving.
So Paul talked about Timothy and how faithful he was to the Lord. And then he says in verse number 24, but I trust in the Lord that I myself shall come shortly unto you. Paul said, if I get out of prison, I'm going to come. And I want to see how you're doing. I planted this congregation here. I want to come and see how you're doing. But what I'm asking Timothy to do is come back and let me know how you're doing.
And so then Paul, he went on to talk about another Christian in his last few verses in Philippians chapter 2. He said, yet I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, if I'm pronouncing that word right, Epaphroditus. He said, notice what he said about him. He is my companion in the labor. He's my brother and my fellow soldier, that your messenger and he that ministers to my wants. So Paul said he was all these things. So involved in verse number 25 are all the things that I should be for the Lord. I should be a brother, not only to Epaphroditus, but I should be a brother to Jesus. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 12 and hear what Jesus had to say about one being his brother and being his mother. In Matthew 12, and the verse is number 46. The Bible reads, while he yet talked to the people, Bible reads, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak to him. Then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak to thee. Then he, talking about Jesus, answered and said unto him that told him. Jesus asked the question, who is my mother? And who is my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciple and said, behold, my mother and my brethren. Now watch what Jesus said in verse number 50. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. Yeah, we want to understand that no one becomes a brother of Jesus, no one becomes a child of God until you do the will of God. You know, now we are getting to a point now that we are fellowshipping in the Lord's church, those that are denominational in nature. You can't fellowship with someone that is not like you as a Christian. Yeah. Those that are in the Lord are our brothers and our sisters and our mothers. Those that have, Paul, Jesus said, shall do the will of my Father. How? What is the will of my Father? Well, Jesus said it in John chapter 3 when he talked about the fact that when Nicodemus came to him, the Bible says by night, and Nicodemus came and said, we know in John 3 that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do the miracles that thou doest except God be with him. John 3 and 2. Jesus said, and verily, verily, I say unto you in verse 3, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So we understand from John 3 and 5, notice what Jesus responded when he said, Nicodemus said, how can a man be born a second time? Jesus then clarified his answer. And this is how one become a brother or a sister in the Lord. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. When you obey the Lord and are water baptized for the remission of your sins, you've heard the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. You believe the gospel. You repent of your sin. You confess Christ to be the Son of God and are water baptized. Then you enter into the kingdom of God. That's what puts you into the church of Christ. Yeah, one must be water baptized for the forgiveness of all your sins. You're in the audience this morning. No one is a brother of Jesus. No one is a child of God until, as Jesus said, you do the will of my Father, and that was the will of the Father. Amen. That one be water baptized. But not only was Epaphroditus a brother, and not only was he a companion, means a fellow labor with the Lord, but also he was a fellow soldier. We find in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 3, all of us, we're not in the military in the sense that we are in the army of this nation, but we are a soldier for Christ. Paul said to Timothy, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. All of us that are Christian, we are soldiers in the Lord's army. You know, we sing that song, I'm in the Lord's army. Yes, sir. I'm in the Lord's army. Yes, sir. I may not be able to do something, but I'm in the Lord's army. We are soldiers in Christ. Now, understand when he said endure hardness, that also means as a soldier in Christ, we may suffer hardship. Yeah. As a soldier in Christ, there are casualties. As a soldier in Christ, we may go through things. We may go through hardship. Those that were Christian during that day, they suffered things. And even today, we're going to go through some stuff. Why? Because we're soldiers. Understand that. We're soldiers of Jesus Christ. And Paul said here, we ought to be a good soldier. A good soldier is one that is faithful to the Lord. You know, I am faithful to worship service. I am faithful in whatever my ministry is doing. I am a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And Paul said, for he, talking about Epaphroditus, longed after you all and was full of heaviness because that you had heard that he had been sick. Paul said he had been sick. But not only was he sick, Paul said, for indeed, he was sick nigh unto death. Paul said the word nigh here means he was near death. Sometimes we can be going through stuff and we may be near death. But know what the Bible says for our encouragement. Paul said, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Mercy means help given to people who are in a very bad or desperate situation. Now, I want us to understand how that works. Turn your Bible. Go to James. Turn your Bible. This is important. Turn your Bible. How God showed mercy on us and why. I talked about prayer this morning. Why is prayer so important? James chapter number 1. James. Did I say chapter number 1? All right, make that James chapter number 5. James chapter number 5. Let me get that with you so we can see this and why. I talked about prayer this morning to show you in the Word of God, prayer has a physical ness about it, but it also have a spiritualness about it when we pray. Now watch what the Bible says in James 5:15. The Bible says, and the prayer
and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him what? Yeah.
So when we pray for other people, our prayer is done in faith. The Bible says that God will hear that prayer. Yeah, God hear. And God only hear prayer of those that are Christians. He said, James wrote, the brother of Jesus said, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And watch this here. And the Lord shall raise him up. Now that may mean that I have to get the proper treatment I need. I may have to take the proper medication I need. Yeah, God don't work through miracles. God worked through natural causes today. Yeah, but the Bible teaches us that the prayer of faith. Yeah. And sometimes we have to make decisions in life about our health and our faith, but we got to do it in faith that God can raise up. Now watch the second part of that, the spiritual side of a prayer. Not only can it help us physically, but it can help us spiritually. Because James said, and if he has committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. That's the spiritual side of prayer. Yeah, so when a brother or a sister said, I repent and I ask the prayer of the church, we pray for them. That, watch this here, that the sins they have committed can be forgiven. That's why we pray. So prayer has a physical side and a spiritual side. When people are sick and down, pray that God will raise them up. But also, when a person has been overtaken with sin, they've committed sin, we pray for them that those sins might be forgiven them. So we pray. Paul said here, but God had mercy on Epaphroditus, but also not only on him, Paul said he had mercy on me also. Yeah. He said, if not, then I would be sorrow. I would just be down in the dumps. Sorrow upon sorrow. Then he says, verse 28, he said, I sent him therefore the more carefully that when you see him again, you may rejoice that I may be the less sorrowful. What he was saying was, you know, we've had those, and I don't have to call names. We've had members in this congregation that have been sick. And they've been away for a long time through their illness. Well, Paul said, I'm going to send him to you that when you see him again, now you are rejoicing. There are members that have been sick, that have been down. When we see them again, all we do is just what? We just joy. That's what the text is saying. When you see them again, when you see her again, now she's been sick. And sometimes, you know, they say that Paul said he was sick near unto death. We didn't know if they was going to get up out of the bed. But the prayer of faith, the prayer of the righteous availeth much. Pray to God. Pray for those that are ministering care to those people, that God will allow them to raise up. And when that happens, Paul said, when we see them again, we can rejoice. That's what the text teaches. Yeah. Sometimes we all go down. Amen. We all go down. And when I am down, and I say this now, I want the church, I'm going to say this, I'll say it now. I want the church to pray for me. I need prayer. I need prayer. Doing what I'm doing, trying to do for this congregation, I need prayer. I need prayer. Yeah. And as I said in my text, I'm family. Not only do I need prayer, I need support. I need support from you all. I need that support. Because there are times when I need help. I need help. I understand the nature of what I'm doing. We don't have elders in this congregation. So I understand what my role means. It's like the mother who's a single parent. Not only you got to take the child to school, you got to pick him up, then take him to ball practice. Then you got to pick him back up, bring him home and feed him. Then you got to put him in bed. You got to, why? Because you are the only parent he got. And so I'm saying to this church, I'm asking for the prayers. I'm asking for the support. I'm asking for the help. Why? Because I am one of the members of this family. Yeah. But my responsibility is to do that which blesses this congregation. Amen? And I bless you through the word of God. But I had a preacher tell me just recently, but it's still my responsibility. I got to live faithfully before this congregation. You have to see consistency in my life. You got to see faithfulness in my life. You know what I'm saying? When you watch, don't just look at me. Look at me and look at my relationship with my wife. That ought to be something that tells you something. Yeah. Yeah. If I'm not getting along with her, I mean, well, that makes sense. Hey man, I saw Sister Stroud going balling up her knuckles on Brother Stroud the other day. What's up with that? Yeah, it should never be that way. Amen. Amen. I'm gonna be as Paul said in one of his letters that I try to call no turbulence in my house. Amen. 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 Yeah, just try to be faithful to the Lord. But I have to be faithful to you all in my life and make sure that the time that I spend, that when I share with you guys the word of God, I have rightly divided the word of God. Why? Because I'm going to have to answer to God what I preach. You're going to have to answer to God for what you hear. Yeah. And as I close, Paul said, receive him therefore in the Lord, he said, with all gladness, and hold such in reputation. Reputation means to hold in honor. People said, if he's done those things, respect him for what he's done. Paul said to him. And so we find that I close on this chapter. He said, now watch what he said. Because for the work of Christ, he was nigh unto or near unto death. But he did not regarding his life to supply your lack of service toward you. Paul said this about Epaphroditus. He said, this man was a worker for Christ. Paul said he was near to death. However, he didn't put his life before serving the Lord. He said, to supply your lack of service. Paul said he fulfilled everything they need to do. So Paul, in this letter, talks about two Christians, Timothy and Epaphroditus, how they were servants for the Lord. And that's why my title is, he said, I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy. We need some Timothy. I'm going to talk about that this afternoon, what it means to be a Timothy from an Old Testament text on this evening. But I want to say to you that if you are here this morning, hopefully this message have been one that I have been able to listen, and as the brother Foreman says in the message, I take in my portion that I need to take in. I examine myself. I look at the word of God. I look at myself through the word of God. And I have that concern that Paul said Timothy had, that naturally cared for the condition of this church. I care for Highland Heights. I love Highland Heights, and I'm going to give my all to Highland Heights. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, God's plan of salvation, you have to obey the Lord. We find five things that Jesus said. In Luke 11:28, Jesus said, you must hear the word. The word he's talking about is the gospel.
Not only that, you hear the gospel. The gospel is, as I said before, those three facts, that Jesus Christ died for our sin. He was nailed to a cross, nails in his hands, nails in his feet. He died on that cross for my sins and for yours. And while he was on that cross, one of the soldiers took a spear, John 19:34, pierced him in the side, and out came, as the Bible said, forthwith blood and water. The Bible says then one must repent of their sin. What repentance mean, Brother Stroud? The life you've been living outside of Christ or away from Christ. You need to turn toward the Lord. That's where repentance begins, when you turn to the Lord. Okay? I got it, Brother Stroud. So I hear the gospel that Jesus Christ died for my sin. He was buried. He rose again the third day. I believe that because it's written in the Word of God. 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. Okay, so now you tell me I repent of my sin. What do you do? I need to come. I need to repent of my sin. I need to turn from the life I've been living because I've been living without Christ. No matter how well you think you've been living, you've been living without Christ. You can't live with Christ until you're in Christ. And you must come up here and you must make the confession that Jesus said you must make. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's the confession that one must make this morning. Yeah, you believe. You make publicly known what you believe in your heart, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Then one must be complete that obedience and being water baptized. According to Mark 16:16, Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And then what the Lord do, according to Acts 2:47, we already read, the Lord adds you to the church. You're saved from your past sin. Now you are a Christian. Now you are a child of God. And you are a brother of Jesus Christ. Until you do that, no one is a Christian until you do that. If there's someone in the audience that's subject to the invitation in any way, shape, or form, we bid you to come, and together we stand and sing a verse of a hymn, if you are able to stand. Thank you very much.